I was preaching up in Pigeon Forge. No, I was in Newport. And I got to the pulpit, and I was a ranger in the Vietnam years ago. And I got to the pulpit.
Well, however close you can put that up here, the better it'll work.
Get on up here.
There, that'll work. Thanks.
I can't see.
Yeah, that's it. He's got here. Leave it.
I'm going to put this right back here till I get to what I'm going to say.
Preach it out.
But anyway, I went to the pulpit, and there laid a hand grenade on the pulpit. And I said, now, if you all don't listen, you guess what I'm going to do with this hand grenade? They just looked at me, you know. And a matter of it in Vietnam is you had to stay 6 paces apart over there, or you'd get wiped out. The reason for that was, and when you'd go out, and I was in the jungle from the time when I first got there, I was 19 years old. I never drank, smoked, or cussed. I was born in raised in a Baptist church. My dad was a deacon. My 2 brothers are preachers. My sisters are married to preachers. My grandpa was a preacher. I'm sorry, but my whole family is preachers, you know, and down through the heritage there. And I appreciate being able to fellowship with Brother Brian. He's not done, brother. I've got a lot more questions, amen. But it's a wonderful time, him talking to me about India and their thing. What's wrong with that pocket? Put it in this one.
Yes, sir.
I preached in Nashville one time, you know, because I can't stay still. I got to get around and get out there. And preaching for a man, he wanted me to take his Bible college, you know. And so, it wasn't his church. It was another church. I started that church years ago, and the man just had this small church. And we saw people get saved, and the church went from the little bitty church. He's got a big old $1 million complex, runs about 200 or 300, you know. And they liked the preaching when I first got there, and many got saved. They never forgot the message when the chicken comes home to roost when I first got there. And sometimes I just go away from meetings, and I said, why did you act like that? Why don't you just stay still and give, why do you act like that? I tell myself that, you know, because in that matter of preaching like that, that it seems like you're going away like I'm doing right now. Sorry, man. You know, and the matter of you get away from the message that you studied. You know, you study deep, but preach, get the cookies down on the shelf where they can hear.
Man.
You know, get down there where those kids can hear. They don't want to understand your theological explanation of what the doctrine of repentance. They need to get their heart right with God.
Amen.
They need your heart with God. That's where it starts.
Yes, sir.
It starts in the heart, not in the head. Right. Fill your head all you want to, but that won't mean God's there. You know, it don't matter. You can be full of knowledge, but not have God. How's that? Lord, Lord, did we not? Lord, Lord, did we not? Depart from me, I never knew you. That was a false prophet. That was one said, did we not? Did we not? Did we not? I never knew you. And you can't know him one time and lose him, can you? Once he gets you, you're his forever. Amen. Once he comes in your life, you're his forever. What ain't that, Brother Sammy used to say, just get up and shout for about 30 minutes because you're going to heaven. Amen. You're going to heaven. You got a place called heaven. You got despair and discouraged and everything taking place in this wicked America. Hallelujah. What can I shout about today? I'm heading to heaven, buddy. Don't threaten me with heaven.
Yeah.
But they're going to kill you. They're going to get you. They're going to take you down. You threaten me with heaven. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know? Amen. She just reached out.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is my famous thing of doing. for 30 or 40 years. I've seen a God of young people get saved, and I've seen a lot of young preachers announce their call to preach. Some of them are still left.
Amen,
man. I've got two books in there, if you don't mind. On that two young preachers that I come out from underneath wrote that book. I said, I wish I could write like that. You know, like that. They said, Brother Harvey, why don't you write a book? I said, ye are my book.
Yeah.
Epistles read of all men. You are my book, big boy. Because people read your life. You're the epistles read of all men. That's the best book you could ever write.
Yes,
it's see a soul come to Christ. The best book you could ever write is that your life was filled with God in it. And you turned people to Jesus. You brought them to the Savior. Hey, if he's not good in your life, you didn't get him.
That's right. Yeah.
All you got was religion.
Right.
You're going to do better, stop this and quit that and everything else. Listen to me. When the Holy Ghost comes in your life, he fills you with joy. He fills you with love. He fills you with peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and love. It's not a matter of whether you want to start doing right and you're going out the door. I'm going to do right. Hey, when you walk out that door, that same old stinking nature still in you. That same old one that's just still in you. How are you going to live right? By the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost is going to do. He's going to put joy. He's going to put peace. He's going to put love in your life. Son, you. I didn't want to really preach about it. I mean, preach about this sword.
Come on.
You don't live, you don't listen now, you're in trouble. Ooh, you know, I might throw it at you.
That's right.
That's who I want to preach on, old Saul. David. Let's get our Bible open. Let's open it. That's the best thing to do because you preached a lot of time, you didn't even have a Bible. What'd you put the clock on there for? Thought you was going to take my picture. You what? I want Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 26. I just warming up. Old Dr. Barber, Raymond Barber at Norse, you know, he said, I go out on the edge of the airstrip and he stands there and he warms them engines up. You know? I'm on the edge of the airstrip. I'm fixing to take off. He did that time. I want to read one verse in case of just a time. Okay. I've already spent 6 minutes. That thing better quit moving like that. They just slow down, boy. I'll take some. But whose is this anyway? Verse 22. You got chapter 26, verse 22? Okay, let's respect the word of God and stand and I'll read, okay? And I guarantee you one thing, our brother back there will let you know about the word of God, won't
he? Yes, sir.
You got many books that you've written. All right. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear. And let one of the young men come over and fetch it. Stay right there. If I can get to the end of this message. Behold the Spirit. Read it again. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, our directions nowadays is the morning hours that we just spent with you, with our daughter. And you spoke to my heart, said, would you be burdened about a lost soul as you are for your daughter's life? Would you care about them dying without God as much as you care about your daughter dying? She's got God, but she's dying. I said, I can't do that, Lord. I don't have the strength. You know my words. I'm not saying things that's not been said to you. you watch upon us, and I thank you for letting me come to this place, and the invitation to come to this place. And Lord, I'm not looking for meetings, God. I'm looking for a meeting with you. And if you would do that this week in this place with these kids and also the preachers, if you just meet with us and touch our lives and let us feel your presence and your power again, and let us be the light in this place and in this community and in a country in America. And then that you're in the providence, let me sit with Brother Brian at that, such a great thing to just sit there and listen to him, let him tell me about his life and his home, and then I can tell him about mine here. So use this hour and use these moments to glorify you, and I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. I don't know where to put this. I would put it in Tim McVeigh's hand, but I'm not going to do that. I'll set it where I can get a hold of it here after a while.
Let me put it right back here, brother. If I get the movement around, I might hurt myself.
Do what?
That thing come off.
Yeah, it did.
Well, you got it on too short a chain.
Too short a chain.
Uh-huh. We got to give it a little more chain.
I'm working on it, brother. You got to help me.
Oh, it's got a little old short thing on it.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Now that'll work.
We'll try it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in my pocket.
You put that in your pocket and I'll put this up in your car.
All right.
I'm going to catch a hand in it now, but at least you got enough change.
See what
you have. Yeah. All right. All right. It's just a southern joke. Them old timers used to kid you all the time. The only reason they kid you like that, they're just checking you out. They're just checking you out, buddy. They'll ask you a biblical question, then they'll just wait on it. I said, you know the answer to that. Yeah, you know, what are you asking me for? He makes you go study and learn, see, but you might know. Yeah. But I'll get on another subject. I need to preach this message. I'm going to try to get to there on Behold the King's Spear. Let me back up and start on this, a matter of where Saul was at. And he was in a trench. Verse 7, there you read. And David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was lay sleeping within the trench. And the spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. He was asleep. Sleeping ministries. Never seen such a lack of being sleeping. I'll get on something else, but I don't need. I said, God, how is it going to be that the 10 virgins were asleep?
Come on.
All 10 of them was asleep. 5 wise and 5 foolish, but all 10 of them was asleep. And you say those 5 that had the oil were those that were saved. But the 5 that didn't have oil, they went out for it with God. The door was shut. But they were asleep. That's all people are doing nowadays. They can't play. They can't get out and play. The games are over with on Sunday now, ain't they, man? NASCAR shut down, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Football's all shut up, you know. Taking God's day, Sunday, and worshiping the Lord. They took it and all they had. When I was a boy, you didn't even go to the store.
Amen.
Everything was shut on Sunday.
Right.
You didn't, there definitely wasn't no beer.
Yeah.
Well, you don't believe in drinking dry, do you?
Yeah.
Come on.
That was during the time of Prohibition. You ought to study the life of George Truett. He took the brains of the one that was leading that thing underground. He was going to church one night, and that the man that was over all the underground with it on promoting to be legalized, whiskey and beer and everything, and he had a car wreck, and just so happened that Brother Truett went by and saw him there with a beer broken bottle and his brains laying on the ground. Oh, don't be so gross. You said there's his brains laying on the pavement, and he scooped up those brains, and he went to his church and his pulpit, laid on the pulpit, and preached about liquor. Oh, my. You're such a violent preacher. And so you better watch him. He's a radical. You better be careful of him. He must believe what he's preaching.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And another thing is, he's persuaded of doing it. And that's what's needed in some young men.
Yes,
little old sitting wimp, you can't come around behind him. And the woman's leading him, you're in trouble, buddy.
Amen.
You're in trouble. And you're in trouble if you try to lead him, woman.
That's right.
Amen. That's truth. Is that not right?
Right.
We need to understand what authority's about. I'm going to get on another situation here. But the act of Paul, of Saul there, was it? He was in a place in a ditch, in a trench, and he was seeking out God's man. He was going to kill David, right? He was searching after David. He was out to kill him, you know, and he got asleep in the ministry. He got in the wrong way. He got jealous over David, right? Remember what he done to David? What did he do? He done this, he throwed this spear, did he not? He throwed a spear at Jonathan, his own son. He throwed a spear at Jonathan, his own son. And they say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about an anointed of God that's gone wrong from God, that disobeyed God, and he's in a bad way. All he does is search out and run after young men that has a word in their heart and a cause to live for God. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Who is this little stripling coming down here? Think he's going to say, when David went out there, that big Goliath, he wasn't no 7-9 foot like Saul was. He's just a little boy, a little shepherd boy. He done killed two bears and a lion. He killed a bear and a lion. And he said, how long have you let this uncircumcised Philistine stand out here and defy the God of Israel? How long is there not a cause? That same thing rings out, comes out to you young men in this day. Is there not a cause? That cause is still here. There's a lot of old men that's gone on to heaven. There's a bunch of them outstripped me. I'm left down here to tell you the way that we got in a long time ago is that we got a hold of God and God was in our life and we gave it all, did we not, Brother Taylor? When we were a young man, we gave it all to God and said, God, I want to hold that spear. I want to carry that spear. And during that time, you'll find those that were anointed of God falling. And now we have what happens to these that are already got themselves in a way. Sleeping ministries. Laying in the trench. Sleeping. Then Abishai, that David found out, he sent spies out and he was down there. And he said David went down there with Abishai. You know, Abishai and Joab and Asahel, you need to study their lives. Abishai saw him laying there and he said, I'll take him in one blow. David said, touch not God's anointed. Don't touch God's anointed. These sleeping ministries and these men that have been in the warfare a long time and now they're laying in the trench, they're asleep. They're laying there sleeping while the people are sleeping with them. I was teaching in a Bible institute down in Florida, in Alabama. And this couple that moved over from their church to that man's church. And they said, Brother Harvey, I was talking about something. They sitting there started crying. They were older. Said, whose fault is it? Mine or the preacher's? We sit in that dead church for eight years or so, and nine. Said, dead as well. I said, whose fault is it? Is it his or her? Yours. I said, it's both of you.
Yes,
you're not sit along with a sleeping ministry.
Yes,
they ain't going to serve God with all their heart.
Yes.
You're not going to challenge these young people to give their lives to the Lord. If you're going to take them on a little mission trip, they don't care anything about a soul. Oh, we took a mission trip last year. We did.
And did you really care about that soul? Or are you just going to be popular that everybody took you to the ball on a mission trip?
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah. the burden of missions is not in your heart. If you don't want to go to the field to tell an lost person about Jesus, if you don't want to go because that Savior that came into your heart, this is not the message, but it's doing pretty good. Amen. Hey, if you don't have the heart, you young, that's why I preach to young preachers about, hey, if God didn't call you to preach, it'll be the worst thing you've ever done in your life to say God called you.
That's right.
Be the worst thing you've ever done.
Man.
When the call of God comes on you, you won't get away from it.
Amen.
You won't get away from it. I've done two, three experiences. I'm going to talk about experiences, not get on the message. That's where I get in trouble. Why don't you preach the message? Well, this is the message in a sense to tell you about what it is about carrying his sword. This is the message about, I was in this man's house with this preacher, and we were sitting there talking. This young preacher came to the door. And he's knocking on the door, and he's knocking on it, and he went to the door. That young preacher sitting there crying, going on, said, "Preacher, I need to know." He said, "Preacher, I need help. I need you to help me." He said, "Well, go out." He said, "I can't help you. I can't help you." He said, "Only God can help you." I said, "Well, you sure treat him bad." He said, "Well, he's wanting to preach. I can't help him."
That's right.
That's right. That's right. He said, "He's crying because God's telling him about preaching. I can't do nothing about that. I can't do a thing about him. Don't you got to? I can't help him." It's like, don't you care about it? I do care about it, but I can't do anything without that. That's him and God.
That's right.
You got to quit worrying about what everybody else says about you.
Yep.
You got to quit worrying about, oh, my boy, preaching the word of God now. Oh, bless my God. He better get it from God. You better get it from God.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry, you won't get away from it. You'll preach or die.
Right.
The gifts and calling of God without repentance, Pat.
Right.
Oh, you'll not talk to me like that. Well, grow up, big boy. Find out what you said you was going to do. Oh, not treat me that way. Come on, pal. This thing ain't no game.
Right.
This thing ain't no religious affair. This thing ain't somewhere you can see how smart you are. This thing ain't no mama's time. This thing ain't that you might please your helper. It ain't what it's all about. It's whether God, comes into the midst of you. It's whether God. I sit in a great big church. I won't name them because, you know, they might hear about me. Don't like me no more. So anyway, they don't like me anyway. Then it was because they I'd go up there and visit the church and all the members go, "Won't you preach it?" I said, "That preacher won't let me preach."
Come on.
Had 200 missionaries. At that having a missions conference, that man up there preaching that mission, this is a big outfit, and they're good too. Now, I ain't going to say their name. Because, you know, because I'm coming at a critical marriage about it, and it ain't none of my business how he runs the church. He's solid, you know. But he come up there, he saw it now, and he was a great message. You know, great church. He said, "Now, how many of you are going to come surrender your life?" He had 200 missionaries out of his field. They all come to the altar. Stayed on that altar maybe 5 or 10 minutes and went back to their seat. They went up there and the altar was silent. It's silent. I've never seen like when people go to the altar now, it's silent. It is not silent. I've never seen people just laying on the altar. They get up the way they came. They lay on that altar. Just say amen right there. That's what you are. You go to that altar and you come up and it's God silent to you. God's silent to you, amen, brother. The only way God's not silent to you is that when he say that the power of God's got to be upon your life, there ought to be a struggle with God for his power. Got to be a struggle or wrestle with God. Bob Spurgeon said, "He gave me the art of learning how to wrestle with God." The art of wrestling with God. Amen. Brother preacher, we're getting old now. We're too old to wrestle like we used to wrestle. You remember what I mean? We used to wrestle with God.
Yeah.
I'd wrestle with God before I'd go to my pulpit. I'd wrestle with God all night long. I didn't watch football, play games, or have a little kitchen thing. I didn't get nowhere I'd get before God. I'd lay my head before God. I'd get in my study. After I got done that, I'd go to a lake or go to the Rock Mountain and get down before the Lord. And what did you say? Nothing!
Yeah.
Good.
Amen.
But you do it waiting on God. They say, "What kind of praying is that?" You pray, and they might make a lot of fun of it. You pray till you pray through. And that prayer through and is this. You pray until you pray. You pray until you pray.
Yeah.
My daughter tells me, and she said, Dad, I was in a place where I prayed every morning. There's a good young lady. She's godly, I think, and she's going to this pressure on her right now. This thing on you young people, it's a pressure, buddy, unbelievable. What's going on out around you right now in the work of this people now, look. But I'm glad, brother, that we still got a little old country church and we got some men that still know God. And God privileged you to live on this place. I just thank God that I run across you. It's the providence of God, though. It's the providence of God. And the words say, hallelujah. I know without a shadow of a doubt. That's what persuaded me so much. When he called me and said for me to be here, I knew without a doubt God said you get there. God said you get there. I wasn't worried about whether there's 5, 6, or 10, or 100. God said for you to get there. In the promise of God and the working of God, you cross my path, I've crossed your path. Whether you listen or not, that's your choice. But when I know what God does with me, that's what I got to stand account for. I got to get filled with the Spirit. I've got to let the Holy Ghost preach to you. I didn't come to perform. I didn't come up here to make your mind any better. I didn't come up here to make you say, oh, he's such a great preacher. If you don't hear the call of God, if you don't hear the word of God, if you don't hear God speak in your heart, I've done what done no good. But if God, amen, if God, that's what I mean, act like this, amen. If God would do something in your heart, if God would come by here this week and there be a service that come, that some of you would fully, completely give your life to God. And if I can get to the message, I'll try to get you back to Spirit.
Yes.
Sleeping ministries. Those that are anointed of God. And they get mad at anybody that's got any fire.
Come on.
They don't want anybody to come that's got fire. And they sure get all tore up when the young people say, boy, would you have him back?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we might. Well, you know, we might have him to come, you know.
I told this one pastor I was preaching down in Alabama. If I get experience, I'm already running out of time. And that's another thing.
He's doing all right.
Brother Harvey comes, you got to make him stay in the time.
Lord!
Oh, man.
You know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have a young man so full of God, so full of the word of God for me, that I'd have to stop him.
Yeah.
I'd have to stop him. Don't you want those kind? I want those kind that you have to stop him. You know, I don't want those kind of guys to get them going.
Yeah.
Come on, girl. Come on. You want to preach? Well, I didn't got my message all together yet. Well, you don't need to have it. What you need to have all together is God's power on your life. God's power on your life. A burden. And to take the word of God that goes for you ladies too. When my daughter got saved, the first thing she done was went to that public school. Back in our home, you could tell the teachers and hand out tracts in the school. She went through over there and put them on the desk of the teachers. Putting on the desk of the teachers. They didn't get her in. You know, the teachers respected her, knew she's a God. All those young girls would watch her and the Buffy try to tell them about the Lord. And the first person my daughter won to the Lord was a black boy. Woo! Amen. What? That'd handle this little stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
That'd handle it real good, you know.
Amen.
There's no racist. When you get in the church.
Right.
Woo! Amen. Yeah, I don't care if they're black, green, yellow, white, they're your brother and sister in the Lord.
That's
you understand what I mean? There's a bounds on races though in the Old Testament. There's a bounds on that because of the kingdoms and all that. And you get into that area, that's where they don't know. Because they're ignorant of the Word of God. But those that are not ignorant of the Word of God are some of my best friends up in Indiana.
Yeah,
I know a black preacher right down in the slums there, buddy. His name is Gary Griffiths. He's an ex-Iowa State football player. He's about 6'5". See, I'm telling the experience not to get on this message. I'm at the door. You know, hoping to preach his message. He said, I can't help to tell you about it. And you boy kids got to understand if I can get to this. The thing about it is, you don't, Bill Brother Sammy, sit down there. He's my best friend. I've been with Brother Sammy for all my ministry.
Yeah.
He's my father. Anybody tell me what to do, Brother Sammy can do it. I tell them other preachers, you don't try.
I said, you don't try. You know, if anybody tell me, Sammy, say, Brother Harvey, I said, yes, sir.
Go back over there.
Sammy, I
wasn't mine. He said, go back over there. He said, Brother Harvey, go over and pray. Go over and pray. He said, you go back there and preach, and I'll preach up you. And we did. I go in the back, I was preaching up a storm, and he hit me, he got you got in another world, brother.
Yeah.
Son, he'll be preaching along. He ain't gonna preach anything different either.
No.
Preaching 10 seasons, why you ought to go to hell and all them same old messages, everything else. You know what the difference in Sammy Allen was? The power of God. You know why I didn't get in that Bible college and he wouldn't let me in? I preached that Sunday night on the touch of God. They had about 600 or 700 there, 4 or 5 preachers. I said, I'm gonna preach on the touch of God tonight. And when I started referring about that Sammy Allen, that cell and I used to.
Right. Right.
Sleeping ministries. Sleeping. Couldn't figure out how in the world that's gonna happen to us. What are people doing? Sleeping.
Yeah.
What are they doing on Sunday? Sleeping.
Yeah. Playing church.
None of them ain't going, brother.
Right.
They live streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the best way that they live stream. Yeah. Sit out there in their cars with their pajamas on. Some of them sit out there with shorts on. I know a preacher that one told me, he said, this is great, I won't say, I know a preacher. There's a great preacher, and his daughter already got in a mess, you know, and it's caused a lot of problems, son. Anyway, it's made him get to the point where he said, I can't fix it, Brother Harvey, I can't fix it. Greatest preacher there is. And his daughter was sitting out there, this new pastor's there now, and they're out there on that platform preaching with them all sitting out there. And this one preacher went by, and his daughter was sitting there. She said, Dad, you heard me in home, let him know. I said, let him go on by. She had a pair of shorts on. I said, she had a pair of shorts on. I tell my own kids that. I tell my own children. No, but they get up there in that choir and they start singing the glory of God. Look like they come out of a bar. Look like they live to come from a little heart. Hey! You can't sing about a Christ that's holy. You can't talk about a God that's holy. That's in your bosom, within your flesh. When you start saying about Jesus, if it don't convince you of your appearance and your ways of your heart and the consciousness of what you are, then you've got problems. Amen. Yeah. We've got a problem nowadays that people are searing their conscience. They're going on. They say they're saved, but they look like they come from another place. Amen. Yeah. They say they're saved, and their words of their mouth is nothing but garbage. All they care about is the world. Everything they want to do is their little stinking careers. All they want is that somebody might have this, I might have that. If my daughter put this on her little thing about it, she said, Daddy, I don't want anything. Just give me. It was a birthday card. She said, I love you. I love you. I feel the best dad in my life. And it was everything to me. She said, but Dad, you're second place now. You ain't first place no more. I love Jesus more than I love you. I love Jesus, Lord. I love you. And the reason that I love you is you brought me to Jesus. Amen. You let me know about him. You want anything in your life? I want to know if you know Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Aren't you miserable when you speak of religions and professions?
Yes, sir.
There's a reality,
yes, sir,
with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
There's a place that you say, who is this knocking at my door?
Amen.
Who is this in my soul troubling me?
Yes.
Surely it must be Jesus.
Yes.
Surely it must be Jesus.
Amen.
Asking, pleading,
yes,
wanting to make you whole.
Oh, yes, sir,
that ain't in the message. That's the way I do it anyway.
Sleeping ministries. Now, I've got to get to the message.
That thing shut up. It went dark. Too much light. Blowed it out, didn't it? I'm known for doing what I'm doing right now. They call it chasing rabbits.
And when I walk with Brother McVeigh, I change it to a different expression. I am digressing from the subject.
I love you. Well, we have a great time. You know we'll get around with him together. We're not too spiritual.
You know.
So I'm digressing from the subject.
I don't even know what I was going to digress to, man. Yeah, running rabbits. That's the same thing. Chasing rabbits is the same as digressing from the subject. But for me, it's running rabbits.
Right.
Man. That's Tennessee language.
Right.
And y'all got to accept me. I don't care if y'all are Yankees.
Yeah.
I tell them people at home, I said, it's a DMZ up there, buddy. DMZ up there. We get along real well. You say, do you get along with what they might say? Yeah, well, I give them back the southern way, too.
They give me this northern way, and I give them the southern way. Southern hillbilly. You're from North Carolina. You know what? Come over that mountain, got that bunch of hillbillies down there from God, don't you?
Well, North Carolina.
Yeah, I hear you. Them North Carolina preachers. The old man that started my church, home there in Baptist Tabernacle, there in Hammond, Tennessee, Dr. James Jones is a pastor. The man that started that came from North Carolina. Came over and started that church in Little Mission House. Little Mission House.
Amen.
And his wife used to, they'd be on the radio, and she'd be back there and she'd go, amen, Kenneth, amen,
Yeah.
And her granddaughter now is married to a preacher that now is called to preach after me, under my ministry. And she's now struggling, they are trying to struggle to keep the church together, the great church. And I go up to her, she's a school teacher, very well educated and very refined. I said, you know what your grandma would say, look at you. Amen, Keith. That's her husband. Why don't you just get behind and say, amen, Keith.
What you need to do is bow your old stinking pride. You're educated, Leonard. You think you know everything. You think you're real smart. You think you're educated. And your education has done made you absolutely dead and away from God. Don't get to God by your intellect. You get to God by your heart. You get to God, He wants your heart, not your stinking head, because it's full of corruption.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Son, that light came on once. I was down there looking at it. I could look out. That's peripheral vision. That's why I'm watching this crowd out of the corner of my eyes. This old boy I was preaching, I not lost the subject, the experience. I was preaching in Joe Angle's church over in North Carolina. His main man had a rabbit farm. And he said, thing blinks at me. You want to tell me what time it is? He said that he would turn the light on in his rabbit coop, and they would multiply better with the light on at night, And I was chasing a rabbit in the pulpit one night, and I chased that rabbit, and all of a sudden, while I was chasing the rabbit, the light came on. The light came on, and guess what it did? It multiplied the rabbits. The light came on. I'm going to saunter around here a few minutes, some old timers. God will hone me in on what needs to be preached. And He knew the book, buddy. He knew it. He'd be hung around there. He'd be preaching along, and all of a sudden he'd hit me. He said, there's where I need to be.
Right.
Son, for about 15 or 20 minutes, he would preach. Power would come. He wouldn't preach anything you didn't know. He didn't preach anything you hadn't heard. We don't have to have anything new. We need to prove what's true.
Amen.
We don't need nothing new.
We need to prove what we've already got. That's what I do with my dad. I prove what he taught me is true. That's what you ought to do. Prove what your dad has taught you is true or not. Acts 17. That's a message over on how to form mobs. That's all that bunch is a bunch of mobs running against our country right now.
Okay.
It's a mob.
Yeah.
Men of baser sorts. It's a mob.
Right.
We're not to protest. We're not Protestants. We're Baptists. What are we to do? I didn't want to get on this subject because that's all everybody's thinking about. What is you to do? Get in behind the pulpit, declare First Amendment, right? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. You hear me live stream? You ain't got it here on. You hear me? Sodomy is a sin. Pornography is a sin. Worried about all the hearts and everything else. Drinking is a sin.
Amen.
I ain't going to debate it. Don't even ask me to be on your debate show.
Yeah.
You ain't been on your debate show. I don't care how many of you listen all the time, their commentary and everything. I'm not to debate. I'm to declare.
That's right.
I'm to take the word of God with the First Amendment. Stand behind this pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. That's a preacher's place now.
Yeah.
Now, what about a politician? I hope he knows God.
Yeah.
So you can pray for him.
Amen.
And he handles political affairs, right? Mm-hmm. And that a preacher ought to be well aware of all the things that take place. But the thing a preacher needs to do is preach.
Right.
David Vernon called me and said, Brother Harvey, you better preach Monday morning. I said, I can't preach. You won't come with me. Well, I said, he said, I can't get there to Wednesday. I said, whatever you're doing, get up here. I need your help. You know, well, he helps me when he gets at it. You know, you better preach, Brother Harvey. I better preach. I said, I'm going to, brother. But what you got to pray about, I don't preach too long. But I come with a burden. I didn't come to perform.
That's right.
I didn't come to find a place to preach. I've come a long ways. I'm all the way down, 12-hour drive. I had to go through them mountains. I'm glad I did. Because I looked at all the villages down through there. And saw all the people and seen them. I only saw four. I saw a state trooper, one policeman, one marked car, and I finally saw one when I come in next to Charleston. All over the land. Saw people, man. People were back out, not the policemen. And I want, we're going to talk a little bit more about that shutdown. Give me some more information about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping Ministries. Now, get to the message, please. Abishai wanted to kill him. And David said in there in verse 10, and let me give all my outline, what I studied still and all that. And he said, David said in verse 10, how is a man going to die? As the Lord liveth, this is three ways to die. Three ways to die. One, there, as the Lord will smite him, cut him off. Second is that he shall come to the days of his life, that he can die of old age. But the third one is he'll descend in battle. Guess who descended in battle? Saul did. Saul died in battle, did he not? God took the anointing off from him. He had won his last victory. He was going to die. Three ways to live. Smite you, live to old age. I'm 73. Live the old age, and God wants you to do that. Honor your parents that you might have a long life. It ain't wrong to want to live long. That's a good thing. Hezekiah did. Hezekiah wanted to live. That's not a wrong thing. What's the wrong thing is take your stinking life. You know, despair, tore up. I'm going to take it. I can't figure it all out. I don't know what it's all about. It's very plain. That Bible's not complicated. Husband, love your wife. Children, obey your parents. Very simple. Obey all those that have rule over you, that you might live long.
Right.
You know, I don't have good parents. You've got a good pastor, ain't you? So it's your problem that you know that I can't find the right man. I get on too many experiences, and that gets me away from it. I got a grandson. He's a teacher. He teaches now, and he coaches basketball. He's in a public school now, but that school is still pretty good. We can still got a little control on it. You know, we used to control them all, didn't we? But then now the government took it away from us. That's why Christian schools come from. But anyway, this one little girl down in this church, she's after him. She's after him. She said, "That's your grandson, Tyler, ain't it?" I said, "Yep." He looked him up and she said, "Could I meet him?" I said, "Listen, young lady, it's for the man to find the wife." I said, "It's a man ought to find the wife. You find the wife." I said, "It's not for the woman. She don't search for the man or a man. No, the man finds the wife. And when he finds her, he finds a good thing." Right. And you know what she said? She said, "Okay, tell him where I'm at." She said, "Okay, I'll take that. Tell him where I'm at."
I said, "That's a good reply, but that got me. I mean, that would got me, buddy." So I just shut up, went on down the road. I know the Bible was right, but that little girl's thinking, buddy. She's a thinking real fast, you know. She's a thinking. I'll get back to the message. I'm saying, hey, that's been a wonderful thing. For all these years, I'm on my last round. North is which I've come. I said, "Lord, let me get back to where I began.
Yeah.
Let me get back to where young people and souls that come to the altar. Young people that fall down and say, 'God, get me, Lord. I want to be yours.' Hey, behold a sword." You think this youth meeting just a place you to come, talk to the kids? You know, have a little fun, get a little relationship, have somebody you can talk to. That's not the burden of these men. The burden of these men here in this pulpit is that you get to Jesus.
Yeah.
That you get to Jesus. Yes, if that's not in your heart, I wouldn't have him, brother. If the man don't want to see that the people get to God, if they don't want to see the young people come to the Lord, I wouldn't have him.
Three ways to die, one way to live. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? That's Saul. That's when he was disobedient. He said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice this, or sacrifice that. Okay, help yourself. Thank God. Glad you did. I dress like this. I do like this. I do like that. This is my sacrifices. It's good. Okay, great. But to obey God is your supreme authority.
Yes.
To obey God. That's what preachers do.
Right. Yes, sir.
We got to obey God.
Yes, sir.
He sit there and he got in the bed and they got to sleep and he's laying there. And here comes Abner down there, and they were running over there, and Abner hollers back at him, and he's laying there in that ditch, you know, and laying there, and all of a sudden, he hollers at Abner. He said, "Abner, why aren't you taking care of the king?" And when he was hollering at Abner, Saul heard his voice.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a message right there, too. The last words of Saul to David, boy, I tell you, the last words, I can't preach there, I preached for a long time too. The last words to Saul to David was, first he heard his voice and he said, "My son David."
Yeah.
The last words of one that's been disappointed, I've been disqualified and got out of the way of God, and the knowing of God's taken away from him, when he hears the voice of David of God, when he says, "Is that you, God? I haven't heard you in a long time, is that you?" He heard that voice again. And the love that was in him was in that sense of it. See, I'm going to preach that. He heard that voice. He heard his voice and didn't let you know a disavowed man, a man that's taken an appointment, that's lost, disqualified in the word and the hope. Then David's a sinner. He's running from him. He wants to kill that one young man. He was why? Because God's anointed him. And God's disapproved him. The kingdom has been rent from him. But he heard the voice of David. Then he said, I played the fool, David. And now wickedness exceedingly. Saul's repented. He said, I have sinned. Then he told Saul, and Saul said to him, he said, you'll prevail, David.
Yep, you do.
You'll prevail. I got through that pretty quick. I'll now get to the message. You say, I'd be alone? No, it's not going to be a long time. That could be a lie. I don't lie, though. I'm going to tell an experience again right there online, so I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I used to go to prison meetings to tell the prisoners about Jesus. All the preacher gets up there, the young man, or even others. We need to be soldiers for the Lord. Well, go do it! And I'll give you another one, some of you preachers. We all just praise the Lord. We ought to praise God. I just feel like, well, do it, big boy. You said to do it. You want them to do it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Amen. Right. Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Don't tell them to do something you ain't going to do. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't tell them that you ought to praise the Lord and then come into a church and sit in the back and let everybody know you're there.
Yeah.
How about getting on the front seat?
Amen.
The preacher getting to preaching, you get to say, amen, amen. He's very emotional. I'd rather be emotional than a standing back in a back, dead, dried up man that thinks he knows it all. And if you've got a Bible, I told them young preachers, if you've got a Bible interpretation and you don't have a practical application, you're dead.
Yeah,
that's dead theology, buddy.
Yeah, preacher.
Now, I don't tell them that way in school. You know, you sit there and try to teach them. I tell that when I preach. I'm preaching towards your heart right now.
Amen.
I'm not after your toes. They got all over my toes. I ain't after your toes. I'm after your heart.
Dad.
Amen. See that? My old home church, they'd be shouting right now. My mama would be one of them. My daddy be sitting over there. I'd say, too many experiences, sister. Mom would be sitting on the second seat. And they'd be preaching. She's shouting, preaching. She'd get the shout. My dad be sitting over there on the front seat. We go out the door, you know. Jesse, I don't care how much you shout, just keep the ground walking around.
Yeah.
Ain't that great? That's a real.
That's true.
I didn't put that out intellectually. Would you help me, Brother Brian?
Yeah.
Be able to say that in a way that is very plain, ain't it? It's very common. It's very common. It's very simple. You might call that bunch down there a bunch of hillbillies that don't know nothing. But I'd rather have God in fact like I don't know nothing than have His presence and His power. And the joy of knowing Jesus.
Yeah,
gonna have a bowl on my children about the Savior that came into their heart.
Yeah.
Amen. It ain't hard to tell what's right when they love the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna finish right here. Behold the Spirit. Let one young man come over and fetch it. Let.
So, you preachers, I'm going to give this to the preachers, okay?
Let is limiting.
the eternal kingdom. L-E-T. Man has the way to limit God.
Oh, yeah.
God will not go no farther on you than what you let him.
Garbage.
Let is the limiting the eternal Trinity. Pretty good at it. One is the lot of your endeavoring of the unity. You're endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. You're endeavoring. Real simple. You put up with it. I've got to put up with you. You heard it. I've got to put up with you. That's what endeavoring means.
That's right.
The Mozambique was smart, wasn't it? They didn't have all your concerts and all the books and cell phone and everything else. All they had was a little King James Bible sitting in the kitchen with a broken glass.
Yeah.
And they get to reading the Bible, and all of a sudden they get up like that, and they get up off the table going, we got so poor when the storms come and the rain and the snow went through the roof, come down on the floor. They didn't need it, I skated on it. They skated around on it and said, hey, the Lord. Amen. You didn't have nothing. Oh, yes, I did. I had God, brother. I had God.
Amen.
What was you? I was a mean boy sitting there in bed waiting for my day. A young man. You limit the Trinity. You let him. God's letting you. He ain't going to force you.
Right.
It's your choice. One, that's your lot. To keep the unity of the rest. We need to be one in Christ. I'm not talking about compromise or a little liberal or anything like that or forsake our doctrines. But we need unity, don't we? Everybody says we need unity in America. You ain't going to get it till you get some unity in the church.
Amen.
You can't get in the church no more and get along with each other. Young man. What's a young man? They want a young man with a life of embracing purity. We need some young men when you get that sword. That you'll have a life of embracing purity.
Lord, yes.
You'll look like a preacher. You'll act like a preacher. You'll dress like a preacher. You won't let this world dress you.
Yes, amen.
When you come to the house of God, dress in your best. Look like a preacher. Look like a man of God. Look like I'm preaching to preachers. I'm sorry. There's probably a bunch of them here. They just don't want to get this sword. They're just a little afraid to come and get this sword. Purity. Come as you are, looking like you are. No.
Yeah, come on.
No. You come to the church dressed with the best you got. You come to the church and God's house with the best thing you have. It might not be much, but anyway you have it. They used to invite back a long time ago, they'd invite somebody to come to church. They might be hearted or be wicked and everything else, but they had enough respect back then. Said, I haven't got no dress. I can't come. We'll get you one.
That's right.
Yeah. You
right.
Just,
we'll get you one, you know.
Not nowadays. This generation has been taught, you come any way you want to. Mm-mm. You know what that's led down to? Beyonce setting up our scene about Amazing Grace.
Come on.
Hey, for a person hanging out and going on, and you think she knows Jesus, she's far from it.
Amen.
You need, if you come and get this sword, embrace a life of purity. Living right, looking right, spitting white. My grandson chews the back, dip stove. And we're sitting on that roof, he was in grown state. He done the Tennessee walk as a football player twice. He also had a 110 to Auburn. He could squat 600 pounds, full squat. He was just as gentle as a lamb. Had this little old thing up there helping us.
He'd already went to the sodomy. He'd already got there. But at that time, it was fighting. And he, so we were real nice, so we made him carry the shoes. He'd bring them over our rib right and put them down. He put them down. He just said, put them down. No. And he said, I said, when are you going to quit that stuff? Well, I can quit any time I want to, Pop. I said, oh, no, you can't. Now, he's not being rebellious, all right? I said, just see you do it. Quit. You know? Yeah, I was going to drive it. I didn't know anything. I said, so we just got done. You know, we argued a little bit. You know? And he said, I got to go, Pop. He was in state, he was in college. He said, I got to go. So we went out the door. And I paid him. I let my other fellow pay him. Okay. I gave him money. I gave him $100 right there. He was in our 10 minutes. You know how that is. You know? So he left out. Here come that boy over there. He was a little arrogant, wasn't he? I said, son, all I had to do was change the tone of my voice, boys. Talk like a man, not like a girl.
Yeah, amen.
All I had to do was change the tone of my voice and say, right? You know what he would have done? Yes, sir, Father.
Amen.
So yes, sir.
Amen.
Right. Embrace a life of purity.
Unity. This ain't really got to all of it, but I'll just quit. I got to. Then come. Come to the Lord. The invitation is come. A wonderful Savior says, come unto me. Come. Come. There'll be such a minute in your life. The meeting would be so full of God. You feel that trembling in your heart. You feel that call of God. Come unto me. Come unto me. Boy, they said in that meeting, the meeting would be sweet. It wouldn't be. The Holy Ghost would be trembling in that person's soul. They'd take their thinking pride and bow down. They'd start weeping. The high-mindedness of this young people. The mildly look and the standing back. The stern spirit. And you know what the main biggest thing is? It's pride. And that's our problem. I'm going to say amen, man. Our biggest problems are pride.
Right.
If my people will come and ain't humble themselves. Pride. You're going to get me down there. And you're going to see me call the altar no more. You're going to see me get down and say, we need help. You're going to get me in this meeting before this week's over, fall out on that altar and say, God, help us. God, help us. And he is. He's trying his best to help.
Yeah.
He's sending all you preachers to preach to you. He's got the providence of God and men to come. I'm just thankful that God let me get out there in that building with him. Because it's providential. I need some things from you.
Right.
License is behold the spear on. Not only the invitation, it's learning, come unto me, all ye labor. Learning of the enabling of the liberty of God. Enabling grace. You better learn that the grace of God is what you are.
Amen.
I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace that was put upon me, I labor more abundantly.
Yeah.
Amen. Last point. And that's not really the three that I wanted to get to, but I'm going to stop. To stretch out your hand and fetch the spear. You need to lay hold. Lay hold on this spear for your security.
Amen.
Be safe. Be safe. You hear him?
Yeah.
Be safe. I am.
Yeah.
I am. Because I lay hold of it.
Right.
How did it get?
Young man, come.
Your invitation.
Amen.
Fetch it. Stretch out your hand for the spear, not to stretch out your hand against the anointed. Let them go on. It's over with them. That you're not going to be able, you don't need to touch them anyway. They already left there. He's headed for the place of destruction. You don't need to worry about them. You don't need to be concerned about what they're doing. Hey, the Lord says to you young people, as much as he said to me, I was young one day, and he said to me, he said, come, fetch his spirit. And I went to it, and you live in God. It's not time that lives God, it's you living God. He's able. He can do it now. He can do it either. He's just finding somebody.
Amen.
To come and get this spirit.
Right.
You don't have to do it right now.
Yes, sir.
Before this week over.
Yeah, Kevin. Yes, sir.
Before it's over with. Would you come to that altar and get the spirit? Lord, thank you for the liberty, and thank you for that as you've given me today. And I pray before this week's out, if it just be one, if it just be one, Lord, it might be that we'd find them in here on the altar during the night. Back in the old times when the preachers and you dealt with so many young people, they wouldn't even get off the altar. They would cry in their seats and they'd go to the altar. They wouldn't want to be running around doing everything. They'd want to get a hold of you. And I pray that they do that. Help Brother Taylor as he would direct the meeting this week. God, let him discern your work and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. God, if God just gets all over him up here right before it starts, God, that he would not quench and grieve him. And then if it will be that God, you Holy Ghost, would touch a young person, just to testify and cry about what God's doing in their heart. And testimony of the Lord speaking to them, not to take a place to be seen. But if they be sensitive to you, and they not want to be unless they seek you, unless they go to their places of staying, and they ask the Lord, what do you want out of me? What do you want me to do in these days that we're living in such a time? I want to lay hold on the spear when there's so many that are leaving. So many are getting disqualified. Letting the world get in their life. Not keeping their life in purity. Not letting God work holiness in. So use this week and thank you for letting me come, Lord, and thank you for these people inviting me. In Jesus' name.